Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Welcome back to part two of today's Corolla Classics. Now we're going to take you back to 2010 when we had ACS All-Star guest Dana Gould on.
An episode somehow we have not played yet. Adam Carolla Show 246, Dana Gould live in studio, January of 2010. Enjoy.
And welcome to the podcast. Welcome back, our beloved Dana Gould. Dana's brought a couple of, I'll call them hot pieces of ass. And he's holding his lav mic.
I'm holding my lav mic like a giant at a stand-up club. How is everybody?
I was going to say like I hold my penis. But better yet, it's a visual joke, everybody. He's clipping it on. He's brought his ladies, Lucifer, which I'm guessing is a play on Lucifer. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And Beelzebub, who's... No. Rita D... Pronounce it for me.
D. Albert.
You guys all part of the Lucha Vavoom phenomenon?
Yes, I produced the show, and I'm going to sing in it this time.
Oh, really?
A little singing and Mexican wrestling combo.
Now, what would you do? Like a Linda Ronstadt type thing? Put on 80 pounds and start singing one
Canonado?
She's singing Lyman for the County.
I am a lion gal for the County. I like when they have to swap the male for the female. She's so fine. Do lang. Wish she was mine.
The guy who led me for the County was driving down the highway and he saw this cop with a speed gun and thought, there's a song there.
Yes. I am a lineman. I think that's Glenn Campbell,
that
by the way.
That is Glenn Campbell.
Sorry. So, Lucha Vavoom. A quick thumbnail sketch of Lucha Vavoom for the uninitiated.
Well, we did Lucha Vavoom to bring Lucha Libre, the Mexican mass wrestling, to the masses. And we thought the easiest way to get people down is to have stripping in between the matches. And it worked. And it's a really great combo because sex and violence really complements each other.
Sure.
And then we... to make it understandable to people, we thought we should have commentary, and then we thought, well, why does it need to make sense? Let's have Blaine Kapach and Dana and people like that come to commentary. So we've had Patton Oswalt and Fred Armisen, some really great comedians.
Yeah, and Fred, I imagine, does a pretty good Mexican pro wrestling voice. I would imagine, since he can do the voice of a lampshade. So he's that talented. So that must have been good. And of course, Dana. So you have to have people that are fast on their feet.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's about what. 3 hours of talking.
Yeah, I got into it because I was a fan of it, and I knew Rita from forever, and I just basically just called like if anybody ever gets sick or if you ever need anybody to come down. And to this day, it's one of the favorite things that I do, and I've never left a show and not thought that was fantastic. Insane.
Let me ask you guys a critical question about wrestling here.
It's fake.
I know, but here I feel there's a lot of folks in the middle of the country that, even though they know it's fake, it's like my kids. They're aware that the scary part of the Disney movie isn't really happening.
Right.
And it's one dimensional. It's on a screen and blah blah blah. But they're still frightened by it. Now in Mexico, this is a culture that actually believes in something called the chupacabra. The goat sucker. So I believe the sucker's right in the title. I believe, least creative name ever, by the way, for a thing. What does it do? Well, it sucks the blood of goats. What should we call it?
Goat sucker, I guess.
Okay,
vampires were dude. Next. Vampires are dude suckers in Mexico. Right. Here, that was already taken.
So the I wonder what percentage of people in Mexico believe in the pro wrestling versus these United States. You know what I mean?
I know it's the number two sport right after soccer or football there, and I think it's part of their whole culture, because if you've ever been to a match, they have, like, little children screaming obscenities at the wrestlers, and old women are famous for beating up wrestlers.
That's not the Mexico I know.
It's
beautiful.
How
dare you speak of my beloved.
Have you ever
Mexico
been to the Four Seasons in Punta Mita? That's not Mexico.
It should be, like, you know when they do those things where they go, right now our school systems here in L.A. County are coming in at, number 47. We'd like to see them up in the mid-20s by 2012. As a country, your job should be to take pro wrestling and move it down below cricket. Like, right? You know what I mean? Curling should be in front of it. Like, you know your country's bottomed out when the number one sport is soccer, but nipping at its heels is fake wrestling.
Well, in Mexico, it's not as testosterone soaked as our wrestling is. It's not like just heavy metal
homoerotic.
Homoerotic heavy metal without the musicianship.
Right.
In Mexico they wear masks, and the masks are such a giant part of their characters that, like, to take the mask off a wrestler is this huge offense.
Sure.
And I think it was Blue Demon who in life never took his mask off.
Like,
would go to the store in Barcelona, wherever he lived, and although that's not in Mexico, that's just,
right.
I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Guadalajara,
right. Punta Mita, may I?
Sure.
And then at one point, like, he took his mask off, and this, like, his face had this, like, horrible rash. Like, he, like, really ruined his skin because
he
never breathed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
commitment.
Guys who eat too much pussy get the same thing.
Mexico,
that's why I don't even.
I was going to say, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's right.
In Mexico, though, they're like superstars. There was just that photo from the president of Mexico was giving a State of the Union, and in the crowd was Blue Demon Jr.
Yeah,
in a suit with his mask on.
Another thing,
as a
nation, you don't want to aspire to. And my vice president, the Blue Demon, everybody, please put your hands together.
I don't know. I think if there was a masked guy at Obama's speech tonight, I'd be pretty.
Yeah,
excited.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Well, they also had that.
Better than hooded, I would imagine.
Yeah.
There should be a mouth hole. As long as there's a hole to breathe out of, we're cool. And I also would feel like we could definitely send some of those guys abroad to do our bidding, because some of the cultures we're currently dealing with, I don't think they want the deal with the chicks or the spindly gray-haired gents. Some big guy, big broad-shouldered guy in a mask who looked like Racer X showing up and kicking a little ass. I think they would respond culturally to that.
Well, there is Hitler understood that, the Psy War. You know, I'm always talking about the things Hitler knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, did Hitler have a separate to-do list for stuff around the house? Or was it all jumbled
just
together? Invade Poland. Get Windex.
Right.
Kill gypsies. Need a step stool.
Right.
I think that we should, like, even for the army, we should develop some sort of, crazy
Dolph
face
Lundgren.
Masks. And,
But I'm also, seriously, like, a lot of the cultures we're dealing with are, if you give them a limp handshake, they'll think they can kick your ass, even though we have an arsenal that could bury them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
I do.
There is that weird thing that it's a weird thing, but I mean, like, even when you just meet a big imposing guy, you don't want to say no, even if he's an attorney and you're not wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just something about that handshake that where you go, this guy could fucking crush me like an aluminum can. And I'm just saying, if we're going to just send people abroad, the old guys and the chicks, in the eyes of a lot of the misogynist guys who are running some of these countries, I'll be kind and call them nations or countries. I'm just saying, a big dude.
Yeah,
and
instead
I was,
of Hillary Clinton,
right? A smaller dude, right?
Yeah,
I was telling Alec Baldwin that, you know, he's always dabbling with, you know, running for politics, president, whatever politics. I said, look, put on another 80 pounds. I know, I shouldn't have said another. But really beef it up and grow a huge beard and start wearing like an old-time suit with a pocket watch in it and start saying to guys, I said good day.
Yeah.
You know, and really squeeze the shit out of everyone's hand.
Like a Grant. Like Grant.
Yeah, like Grant. Yeah, yeah. Just massive, bushy, you know, and say things like, sir, my word is my bond. Will not need to sign
my word is dollar good.
Right, right.
Grant, by the way, if you look at a 50, is looking like he's saying, fuck you.
Right.
He looks irate on the money.
Yeah, it is interesting that somebody's in charge of picture. You know, I know somehow my publicist would fuck up my money picture. They'd have one where I looked fat or indecisive or didn't look like I needed change or something. You know what I mean? Like I wonder who's in charge of that. There must be a vote, right? Is there going to be a coin? Is there going to be a Barack coin or dollar or something? I mean, are we done? Or, you know, as the first black president, at some point, somebody from the black community is going to pipe up and go, whoa, man, you got a bunch of guys that like own slaves on nickels and stuff. Where's Barack? Put him on something.
He should be on the $2 trillion bill.
That's the thing that
I don't understand.
Yeah. You guys want to try to take some phone calls?
Yes. Oh, we should also plug.
See
Lucha Vavoom.
February 10th. And the 11th, by the way, at the Mayan Theater, that's out here in Los Angeles. And then the 12th at the historic Fillmore, and that's in San Francisco. Yeah.
The same Fillmore that Greg Kinn played at.
Really?
Who
plays the breakup song?
Very nice.
They don't ride them like that anymore.
Now horror novelist Greg Kinn.
Are you
really?
Yeah, I love when people just invent a career.
Hey,
like the guy at Safeway or Ralph's that sprays lettuce.
Yeah.
I bet that's not even a job. I bet he just showed up one day and started spraying stuff. And they said, I guess he works here. I don't know
if they do that, if that gig exists anymore, the wetter downer of the produce.
It's all computers now.
Yeah, the robots took over.
It just, they've outsourced it to
India. I think it sprays automatically like in a veranda in Palm Springs. It just kind of
I think they've worked out the lighting to wax on the produce ratio so much so that we don't need to fuck with it anymore.
No, is that what
it is? It sort of winks at us. Yeah, but
seductively.
Hey, you, good looking. Yeah. Yeah, I put the head in lettuce. Over here.
I want to be in your mouth.
You can't beat these beats. Come on. I remember as a kid here's how starved for entertainment we were as kids, walking around supermarkets with my mom, pulling out that thing with this sort of coiled hose and going, I'm king of the world. You know what I mean? That was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
We were thinking, like, I remember when we were a kid, we were so poor and stuff, we'd watch movies on TV and take the wrong thing from it. Like, I remember watching Thunderball with my brother, and James Bond swims out to the evil guy's island, and you know, he fights a guard, and they push the guard into the pool, and sharks come out of the pool and kill the guy, and all we thought was like, that guy has a pool.
Yeah.
Like, it's an in-ground pool.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad.
And the Godfather and Michael kill Sterling Hayden. They just went to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even his birthday. Somebody, they just like went and had a meal there.
And there's a dude just in charge of bringing him food.
That's insane.
Insane.
It wasn't even like his birthday or nothing.
Yeah. No, I know. It is. I don't. You guys? Did you guys grow up poor?
I did too.
It's nice. And see,
we're all carnies. we're all carnies.
Nobody. We have to be poor.
Basically, say my family had this great 1-2 punch of poor and cheap. But when you're cheap, poor's the greatest excuse. It's like if you're really lazy and in a wheelchair. Not going to help you move even if I was able-bodied, but I got these wheels attached to my ass, so I'm really not fucking helping out this weekend.
Here's the theorem that I can't decipher from my childhood. My mother taught me how to shoplift.
Mm-hmm.
So we could steal groceries, take the money that we had saved, and send it to Oral Roberts.
What?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm still kicking that one out.
Wow. So it's like kooky and religious.
Yeah.
And a felon.
And a felon, yeah. Mom went to slipper school for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys like had no money and would send it off to Oral Ramos?
Well, my dad didn't. No, that was the thing. She had to hide it from my father because he didn't. He was because if we were sending it to Oral Roberts, he could use it to drink.
Right.
So that's why we were deducted from the grocery money. But we couldn't come home light because we had six kids.
Wow.
Same. Yeah, I had a special coat just for ham.
Really?
I had a denim coat with an elastic waist.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah. No,
it was like Oliver Twist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And by the way, you know, the canned ham.
And then we started chilling.
Canned ham is really the brass ring. I mean, you're really going for it when you're going to a market. Like,
yeah,
you know, getting out there with a couple of pez. You know, copping a few grapes while you're standing in the produce. But
I get
canned
steaks.
Ham.
I get steaks in there. I stole some steaks.
Did you ever get caught?
This is the greatest story.
He was attacked by dogs.
Yeah,
he was eaten by feral dogs.
That's exactly. I got caught on Halloween afternoon, 1977, stealing a bar of soap. Because oddly enough, I started to become a shoplifter even without my mom.
Wow. You could have never seen that one coming.
But it was a small town. So I was with my friends, and I went to steal soap to perform a later crime. Mm-hmm. With that evening.
Yeah. Anal rape.
Right. But I needed soap.
Right.
Because
sure,
I like to be clean.
Absolutely.
It was that great Halloween when you're 13 and you're too young to go trick-or-treating, but too old. But you're too old to go trick-or-treating, but too young to do anything else.
Right,
so you're just a miscreant.
Right.
They called my mother because it was a small town.
Right. You can't get laid. It's goofy to dress
drive.
Up like a turtle.
You can't drive. Yeah.
And you can't really do anything. But you still there's two Halloweens, like 13 and 14, where you can't get anywhere, you're too young to have sex, you can't do anything, but you're not going to dress up like Bozo and go door to door, right?
You just do petty crimes.
Right, right.
You're going to steal soap.
Yeah, so I was going to steal soap to soap windows, but they called my mother to come get me because it was a small town, so my mother came and got me and just said, don't go in there for a while. And so I showed up to go out with my
down.
Oh yeah, exactly. He's off. So then I showed up to go doing crimes with my friends later, and it was like Lazarus. Like, right. How are you here? What happened? And then end of the evening, egging cars with a Catholic priest. No lie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you grow? Where is this in your
small town in Massachusetts. Yeah, we had so my friends and I were going out.
A Catholic priest was egging.
Awesome. I'll just continue the story.
Sure.
So then my friends and I are going to go out and do crimes. We were all altar boys at the church. It was a small New England mill town, very Catholic and stuff. We had a young priest who was cool, not creepy at all.
Right.
He was a very nice guy.
Sure.
Father O'Brien.
Sure.
We were like walking down the street, and I remember him pulling up in the rectory van. Going, what are you guys doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nothing.
Right.
And his buddy's like, get in. At least I know you won't get killed.
Right.
And he took us out and we had cars. And we had
wow.
Yeah, no, he was I always like say, like, he was a great guy. He totally got it. And he was a priest, but he'd be like, I don't know.
You think?
You know,
right.
Like, it's faith. You believe it. I don't know. He was a great guy.
Do you guys think?
I hate to say anything good about a priest.
Right.
It was really good.
Do you think there's going to be grab ass crime like we used to commit? Like, it wasn't that we're criminals, but it's that we were bored. Like, there's no Nintendo and there's no cable, and so, you know, what we would do is go out to the street, a lot of car egging, lots of throwing shit at cars, a lot of water balloonings at cars. I got arrested for making up about 200 water balloons, putting them in a trash can, going to the roof of a 7-Eleven on to Tujunga and Moore Park, and just chucking them at cars, and the cops showed up, and blah, blah, blah.
That's right across from the Tacos and Tacos.
Yeah, we didn't mean any, you know, right across from Henry's Tacos. Yeah, we didn't mean any harm. That was Saturday. We're bored.
Yeah.
We had nothing else to do. If someone would have, had a PlayStation or the Playboy Channel or something, we would have stayed home.
Right.
And so there was tons of shit that young males would do, really kind of devil making work for idle hands. You're not a criminal. I'm not a criminal. We're not even, I didn't have any beef with any of the cars I threw the shit at. It's just, what are you going to do?
Bored.
We're bored. Our kids, I'm feeling like we're going to have kids that just sort of, my kid and your kid, we're not going to be able to go, hey man, go out there and vandalize a mailbox. They're going to be like, what the fuck do you want me to, no. But we'll have real criminals, like we'll have 13-year-olds that stab other 13-year-olds.
Yes, exactly.
And then we'll have ones that stay home and play PlayStation, but we're not going to have the in-between egging the car criminals like we had.
And plus our school system, like where I know where my kids go to school, which is so groovy, they're so humanist. Like, oh, my daughter's in first grade, and she's talking, you know, like, that's bad for the earth. Like, if you throw that, or like, if I just, like, chuck a can out the car window.
Or, at another car.
Or just, like, dump some plates out of the car.
Or light a hobo on fire.
Exactly.
Or something.
Stop and, or she's like Martin Luther King's dream. And she's just like, they're already so righteous and righteous.
Right.
I
got, it didn't happen to me, but my buddy John, it's one of those simple stories. It involves shoplifting at the supermarket. It's one of the simple things, but if you put yourself in that position, you realize just how painful it is and would be. He was going to college in Colorado, and his mom, who's sort of Jewish mom and had all the stereotypical Jewish mom things and none of the good stuff, came out there. And did the, your refrigerator's empty, I'm taking you shopping, we're going to fill it with food. And, they had money and everything, and they went out to a supermarket, and she bought him $300 worth of food to restock his dorm room. But he kiped a pack of cigarettes. And she didn't know he smoked, and she didn't want him to know, or he didn't want her to know that he smoked, and so on and so forth. And there they were with a, wagon train of shopping carts with $300 worth of food, and somebody just came up and sort of tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, listen, I saw you take that pack of cigarettes, and I'm going to need you to put that back. And, of course, it was right in front of Mom. And he, of course, in front of Mom had to go, what are you talking about? And he said, look, I saw you take cigarettes, so either put them back or I'm going to have to arrest you. And he said, I don't smoke. And they said, you're coming with me. And they just pulled him away. He literally was arrested. He was, like, booked, pulled to the back. Cops showed up, took him to the place. Mom had to, go get him from the... Mom was out for, like, a day to visit her little boy at college and all that. You just think about that moment where it's like... And by the way, just that... I don't know, just that thing where they're buying $300 worth of groceries. He's got $1.99 pack worth of Marlboro Lights in his pocket.
Just give it to him.
Save the blue chip stamps. Let him keep the butts, whatever it is. But he just had that little decision to make. Like, do I pull them out of my pocket and have my mom fucking lay into me all the way home about smoking and stealing or whatever? Or do I just try one more time? And he did one more time, and the guy just said, you either come clean or I'm going to arrest you.
The only way to get out of
that. She had to follow the cops to the station with the ice cream melting in the back of the car.
The only way to get out of that is to you immediately go with them, and then you come back, and then you do one or two other completely incongruous things so that your mother doubts that she remembered it correctly. Then you walk out, and you're like, look at all the bananas on that TV tower.
Right. And, you just to try to scramble her signal
a little
bit. Yeah, just
to scramble a little bit. And then gaslight her. That's it.
Yeah, gaslight. You guys want to try to take some phone calls? See if that works? Let's see if line four works. Hey, Carlo?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, Carlo, what's happening?
Not much. How's it going?
Good. You got a question?
Yeah, a while back on the podcast, you were talking about how much you hated reggae.
Yes.
And I just thought that was a little weird, since the intro to your show is ska, and you seemed to really like ska and know a lot of ska musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that you can hate reggae and love ska?
Well, ska's a lot better than reggae. I mean, here's the thing. Look, they're, in almost any music, you will find elements of other music and other influences in them. Here's my beef with reggae. I think all white people have to announce they love reggae because they don't want to be... It's like all heterosexuals have to say they love Ellen, otherwise they'll think we're uptight.
Right.
Ellen's not that great, neither's reggae. That's number one. And it's not because I'm uptight. And every song sounds exactly the same. The Bob Marley "We're Jamming" song, "We're Jamming... We're jamming, we're jamming. I hope you like jamming too. We're jamming in the name of the Lord. We're jamming, we're jamming, we're jamming." It's that. It's what a stoned ninth grader would write a game of fucking crayon and some construction paper. It's lazy, nothing music. Now, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with reggae music. We only need one reggae song and then we're done. Like "No Woman, No Cry" or whatever. We're done.
Yeah.
Bob Marley's greatest hits, and we're all done with reggae. No one needs to do another reggae hit. The other thing is when people do the reggae, thing, the same thing they do with liver, where you go like, I don't really like liver. And they go, yeah, how about when I wrap it in bacon and then I put a water chestnut through it and then we dip it in ranch sauce. And it's like, all right, well, then that's not liver anymore. And they go, you mean when you're on the beach in Cancun, yeah, when you're in Jamaica and you got a nice Mai Tai in your hand, and you're being blown by six locals, and your feet are
in the water. That's a simultaneous.
Yeah, no, they're taking turns. Oh, okay. You tell me, then you wouldn't like some reggae music? And I'm like, you could be playing Wagner or death metal. Yes, of course. When I'm drinking a Mai Tai, I'm just saying, if I'm driving in my car and it's raining outside,
right,
I don't want to hear any fucking reggae. And I'm just saying, you don't say that with other people. Like, no one goes, well, I don't like Radiohead. Well, what if you're getting your balls sucked while you're listening to Radiohead and you're drinking a Mai Tai and you're in a hammock? Well, of course, then maybe I would like that Radiohead song.
Nope.
So, yeah. So I like ska, and I like the Specials, and the Boss Tones, and the old No Doubt and all that stuff.
Is ska speeded up reggae? I don't even know. I love the Specials and because then the beat all the
English beat,
that culture arose after World War II. Mm-hmm. A lot of people from Jamaica were basically invited, like, come to England,
right,
and help rebuild England.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you a lot of money.
We'll
give you a lot of
Madness
money.
And Crowded House and the Specials and all, that's where they all came from.
Well, it was the parents of those people.
Right.
It was like, after World War II, they came to England. Like, we'll give you a lot of money, then you go back home rich.
Right.
And they came over and stayed. And,
right.
Like, and that's how that whole sort of culture fermented. And that's why it's different, because it's that reggae stuff, but then it's flavored with other cultures.
Yeah, I look at reggae the worst is reggaeton, which is this new infusion of reggae and ranchero, which is like, it was like when AMC got together with Le Car or with Renault to make the world's shittiest car. It was
right,
like,
yes.
it was like they made the Renault Alliance or something, like in 1981. It's like, we took the shittiest car company in North America and mated it with the shit. It's like taking the two ugliest people you know, mm-hmm, and forcing them to have a kid. That's what reggaeton is. It's same with ranchero. Here, we only need one ranchero record, and we only need one fucking reggae song.
And I gotta tell you, whenever I hear ranchero music, I see in my mind the roosters from the old Warner Brothers cartoons,
like playing.
Yes,
yeah, I know. It's I've said it many times. You know, they do. I've always gotten this argument with people where they go, you know, when we had kids, like, well, you got to play them the classical music because, you know, it makes them smarter. I always go, look, if there's a music that makes you smarter, then there needs to be a music that makes you dumber, and that music is ranchero. And then I say, how's the space program going in Mexico? Obviously, that is the music of the country that has no fucking Their Air Force has tri-winged planes, yeah, on it with canvas stretched across.
Their Air Force is basically there if King Kong climbs the tallest building,
right,
in Mexico.
Right.
That doesn't work, by the way. That is completely bogus.
The smart music
thing has no... The material... No, it's been disproven, and the reason it's disproven is because the aspects of the brain at that point that would absorb that music to... The things that they think
in the womb
don't even work. I mean, they're not there yet.
Yeah.
It's like, you know when you're sick and people tell you to take that oscillococcillium, you get that,
right,
at the health food,
right,
store.
Right.
What that does, I have a friend of mine who's a med student who said, like, what they say that does on the packages is it finds out how you're sick,
right,
teaches your body that it's sick, and then teaches your body that when that happens, it feels better.
Right.
It's complete garbage.
Right. It always is.
Take an Altoid.
NyQuil's the only thing that works. Yeah.
You know what I was? You talk about, like, when the worst kind of music. What I think, you know, when, like, you get like an old band from the '60s, and then the front man is dead, so they get a new front man. Like the,
right,
Doors did that a couple,
sure,
years ago.
They all did.
They had Ian Astbury, I think, lead,
right,
it, and now Judas Priest or somebody is coming out, and they have a new front man or somebody.
They all eventually, yeah, get around to it. Well, even like In Excess and,
right,
not a '60s band,
too,
but they do that.
I think that when they do that, to be allowed to get a new front man, first they have to do an entire tour with Fred Schneider from the B-52s as their front man.
Hey! Yeah. Exactly.
Let me sleep all night in your soul kitchen!
I felt... I'm with you, by the way, because I would definitely go see that.
Riders on the Storm!
I said the exact same, well, not the exact same thing, but I had almost the exact idea about The Sopranos when they were, going. I talked to everyone from The Sopranos pretty much through the radio show, and I said, look, would you have gone for an 8th season or a 9th season or whatever it was? And they all would have, but, Tony Soprano didn't want to do a 9th season. So you have cast, crew, you literally have 200 people signed up, and what's his name?
Gandolfini
says, no, show over. I said I would have watched the entire thing with, Ted McGinley. I said they should do a 9th season. It's Ted McGinley. There's no discussion of it. There's no, like, not even one of the guys going, Tony, you lost weight. Just nothing. It's just nothing. He doesn't even try to do a Soprano. It's just, but it's the same dialogue. Like, here's the deal. If you're writing scripts for The Sopranos, keep writing. Do it exactly.
Go, go, go.
Everyone who's acting it, everyone who's shooting it, everyone who's doing it, you do it exactly the same as season 8 and every season before it. Don't anyone change. It's just going to be Ted McGinley who's going to be in this. And that'll be it. It'll be a bizarre, surreal, artistic experiment. And by the way, people will go like, oh, that'll be horrible. I go, I guarantee people would watch. They'd at least watch the first episode. Just one fucking episode with that guy. And again, the point is nobody can say anything about who's this new guy or what. Why is your hair blonde?
This is Angie. She's my Gumar.
Right. Yeah. That would be it. However he read it, the script's exactly the same. I would watch that.
You are a good earner.
Yes. It would be awesome. I would watch that, and I would also watch Fred from the B-52s front. For whatever band, Scorpios.
Scorpions they could do it with Fred.
Would be good. Yeah, I mean, there'd be every band.
The Scorpions' big hit?
Guar would
Rocky
be awesome.
Like a Hurricane.
Yeah.
Oh, that almost sounds like a beefy. Rock You Like a Hurricane! Yeah. Here comes the hurricane!
Yeah, especially. Oh, it just starts with a Here I Am, which would be awesome.
That's right.
Yeah. You gotta do
here
it.
Here I am! I'm gonna rock you like a hurricane! Yeah. Batten down the windows!
Yeah, he would throw something in. Oh, there goes a cow! He could do it just like Rock Lobster, all the stuff that was in Airborne. Look out for that windmill.
Everyone, baby, windmill hurricane.
Everyone to the root cellar.
We're going to have some roots.
Yeah, right. You just keep, we'd make it do a 9-minute song. Everything that was ever in there, do a couple of good Wizard of Oz, riffs.
But what I love about Fred Schneider is that he is 100% Fred Schneider.
I don't think I've talked to him.
I've never met the man, but you can just—he knows exactly who he is.
Yes,
like Adam West.
Yeah,
I'm not comparing the two men.
No,
in this
Shatner,
regard.
Fred, and Adam West are all doing great impersonations of themselves.
Yes. They have made a career.
I'm going to add Hasselhoff to that list of guys who do versions of that.
Yes, and I would add, again, a friend of mine in a complimentary way, Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin's job is being Kathy Griffin.
Right.
Fred Schneider's job is being Fred Schneider.
Yes. It's so funny. I saw Hasselhoff at a car show about 3 years ago, and there he was. I was 100 yards away from the guy, and I said, Jesus, that guy looks like Hasselhoff. And then I thought, well, it can't be Hasselhoff because this guy's doing a Hasselhoff, shirt undone to the navel, standing on the other side of the velvet rope in front of the Bugatti, leaning against the hood, wearing the boots and the big hair and stuff. And it's like,
okay, this guy looks like when you hire a Howard Stern impersonator to come to your party for kicks. It's too much. It's too big. That's the whole thing about, like, it's like the guys who do the Mike Tyson impersonations sound too much. They're over the top cartoon version of.
Right.
Hasselhoff? No.
100% Hasselhoff.
He's 100% Hasselhoff all the time.
Yeah, when we had Don Knotts on The Simpsons, we had to, I ended up doing the voice because he didn't really sound like Don Knotts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He just sound too old.
He was like,
Don Knotts rock you like a hurricane?
Well, here I am. Rock you like a hurricane. Now, there's a hurricane coming. The hurricane is going to rock you. All right, now, here's the deal. I, being the hurricane, will be the thing that rocks you.
Right. I love Fred. All right.
He was a dad at our school, and Hasselhoff, and I believe was breaking the rules at pickup.
Oh, really? Yeah. When you go to pick? Well,
yeah, you know, it's like.
That was more Kit breaking the rules. He just told the car to pick up the car.
You have to be in the car.
He didn't hit the turbo boost. That was Kit doing the work. Can you fucking believe, by the way, I was just thinking
it. There's no need to swear.
I can't. I'm very angry about this. The idea, you know, everyone makes fun of NBC because of how they handled the whole Conan Leno, whatever, situation. We should have still been making fun of them for bringing back Knight Rider. That in the year 2008 and a half, somebody said, you know what would be great? A really super expensive version of a show that's a punchline from the 80s.
Well, but they're doing it again in a different way. They're doing the Rockford Files again. For this season,
but that's not a car solving crime.
No, but this is like the Doors Fred Schneider imbroglio.
Right?
The point of the Rockford Files is James Garner.
Right.
He's the show.
Yeah.
What would Fred Schneider sound like? Ask James Garner talking to Angel.
It's going to be, this is Jim Rockford. Leave a message.
Ba-da-ba-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, Angel, you're in trouble again. I'm going to the racetrack. Don't have time to solve this crime. Wait, it's the evil insurance adjuster.
Living in a... this Airstream down by Malibu.
Point Doom.
Yep.
The show was the star.
Yeah.
Was Kung Fu.
Sure. Kane.
And every episode of Kung Fu would start with a quiz, and it would be, you're going to meet some characters. Who is going to be the character that Kwai Chang Kane will kick the shit out of at the end of the show? And usually it was like, is it the blind nun?
Right.
Or the guy who keeps the retarded kid in the bag.
Who calls him the yellow man.
Yeah, which one will it be? It's always...
Right. There's always... It would be awesome, by the way, to write for that show, because you have the... It's essentially like if you were a contractor and you worked on houses, except for you never had to frame it or pour the foundation, because that was always there.
Yeah, that was
like, it was like, here's what we'll do. Look, we have a clean sheet of paper, but here's what we know. He blows into a town. None of the local likes him.
Yeah.
And then the locals hate his guts.
Person of authority does a cruel thing regarding water.
He will explain that he wants no trouble, although inexplicably find it in every episode in spades. There'll be some woman who does show some romantic interest in him, although it's never consummated. And then at the end, he'll pack up his flute and hit the dust ball on the way out. And a little slow motion ass kicking in between.
Yeah. And the people that he meets will have trouble doing what they want to do from the people in authority. No matter how... If he meets a crocheting club...
Right.
The mean chauffeur, I told you I didn't want you crocheting around here. You know, it'll be... Something.
Yeah, there's oil in the land underneath the crocheting
I don't like
club.
The sound of yarn being twined.
Right. And by the way, I was told this was a crocheting club, and I see someone doing macrame? Now I got a problem with that. Is that an owl you're making, Missy? Give me that. Let me light my cigar off. And then he'd come in slow motion. I want no trouble. And it would just beat the shit out of everybody, by the way. Yeah, it was always the same. I mean, it was really... Kung Fu and the Hulk were pretty much the same. Oh, I'm blown to town. I don't want any trouble. I need to find work. They're always
true. Yeah.
By the way, as a local, you know, I'm from North Hollywood. I'm from here. Everyone else is from Lucy. You're from
Alaska.
You're Alaska. There you go. Oh, that's trouble, Rita.
Here and some Albuquerque in New York.
Albuquerque, Dana. You're from Massachusetts. So, as a local, I would like to have trouble with someone who came to my town just for once. You know what I mean? I would like to be that guy who stands up at the end of the bar and goes, "You're not from around here, are you, son? Maybe you don't understand how we do things.
You can't do that here, yeah.
It's North Hollywood's too big. I can't cover that much ground."
There's, like, the people that you, there's nobody that you like, go to Hollywood Boulevard at any given time. There's really nobody you can, "You ain't from around here." Like, how can you tell? You look kind of normal.
Yeah, there's no, there, and I just, you always want that satisfaction of, you know, we don't take kindly to strangers, you know, that sort of move.
Yeah, you're not, the other thing from being around here is that you notice, like, when you're a kid and you're watching, like, the $6 Million Man and the Hulk, it just, the place seemed like such a magical place. I couldn't wait to live here. But, like, I literally was flipping the channel and $6 Million Man was on, which I hadn't seen in, like, 20 years, and he's fighting a dude, and it's like, I remember thinking, like, it was this, it's clearly like they're at a storage facility in Sun Valley. I mean, right. it's just a bunch of buildings and a mountain behind them.
Brian Dennehy is one of the good guys to, you know, he's one of the guys who's good for telling you you don't belong here.
Yes,
you
don't take your, yeah, well, he hates Rambo for no ostensible reason.
Right.
He's a big, tough guy. Rambo's a big, tough guy. Clearly a vet.
Right.
He, in reality...
Right.
And this is the only part of this movie I find hard to believe.
Right.
No, he would be very solicitous to Rambo.
Yeah.
He wouldn't hate Rambo. No. It's like, I always, these two movies go hand in hand.
Rambo's literally trying to walk through his town.
Yeah, he's had to
he's like, we don't take your, and by the way, how on top of it, could you imagine a sheriff in Los Angeles, every time a new face just showed up, he'd just go escort them back to the border?
Yeah. It's insane. And it's also the same movie, really. And I always think of Rambo. When I think of Rambo, I always go to this movie, Patch Adams. How the new head of the hospital hates that Patch Adams makes the kids laugh.
Right.
Stop making these children laugh!
Yeah, I know. I do like that Swiss cheese premise of, yeah, the guy's entertaining the troops or entertaining the kids. Why the fuck do you want to fuck with him?
It's like the Burgermeister Burger.
Right.
He just doesn't like
Christmas. He doesn't like toys. He doesn't like Christmas.
Hates toys.
Yeah. You guys know about the Burgermeister Burger?
Is that from Chitty Chitty Bang?
No, that is from Close.
My bad.
Burgermeister Burger was from the Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the Mickey Rooney voiced Santa Claus movies.
One of the guys said it looked exactly like Glenn Campbell. It had to be Glenn Campbell.
Well, yeah, that was young Chris
haircut.
Kringle,
yeah.
But it was voiced by Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
And here is my impression.
Uh-oh. A Fred. No,
this is my impression of my friend Ed Marquez's impression of Mickey Rooney in Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
All right.
Josh! Beautiful Josh!
That was awesome.
Ed Marquez, wherever you are, that's his name.
Should we hop back to the phone, see what we got going here?
One of my first managers was a stage manager on the Broadway show Sugar Babies when he was a young man. And we'll tell you, for hours we'll go on about Mickey Rooney's gnarly toenails. Like, he was always padding around backstage with no shoes on. And he just had, they all looked like party-sized Fritos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as you get older, you might pick up a dead toenail.
Right.
He had 20 of them. 10 of them. 20, yeah. 20 would
I
be.
I also feel like
20 would be he was
like
a dog.
I'm amazed at how many people have weird, short people. I think the shorter you are, tougher time you have with toenails.
Yeah.
I really do.
Do you have a dead toenail?
No, I haven't whacked one with a hammer in a long time.
Yeah,
and I'm actually surprised at how weird a lot of people's fingernails and or toenails are. Oh, there's a dead one right now. There you go.
My thumb, my right thumb has a right angle. My right thumb has a right angle.
Do we have...
The ladies love it.
Do we have Micah on line 3? Micah?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Micah? You have a question?
Yeah, question, for, I guess, more for Dana, maybe a little bit for you, Adam.
Sure.
I'm just curious, Dana, when you were starting out in comedy, did you sort of try out a bunch of different styles at first, or did you kind of have your voice from the beginning?
Oh, no. This is actually a serious question. Well, I started out when I was 17, and I really didn't know who I was on stage yet because I had no idea who I was off stage. And they usually go tandem. When I started out in the sort of early mid-80s, it was when character comedians were very popular.
Oh, you know? God.
But it was ironic because the trend was sort of started by Stephen Wright, who's not a character. It's actually that right. Stephen Wright, but everybody thought, he's just right. doing that.
Right.
And then you had Emo and Judy Tenuta. And,
sure.
I think sure. Bobcat sort of came after Stephen Wright.
But yeah.
He was sort of the second person out of that gate.
Right.
And so I tried on a bunch of crap, and then eventually you just sort of settle into being yourself. I think is the you want to give yourself a persona that will allow you to do the most material. It's a great joke, but I can't do it because the mad dentist would never say
right.
that joke.
Right. Hey, Micah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good time if you're looking to become a stand-up comedian. I would liken it to hairstyles. It's a good time. And what I'm going to say is this. There was a time, like, do you want to do stand-up, Micah?
Yeah, I'm interested in it a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So you get to do whatever you want, but be you. It takes you a little while to find your voice, but you get to do what you want. You don't have to do things a certain way, which is to say. I was talking to Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. And, you know, the guy's a great guitar player, and he's a great musician, and he's a
They're
great,
on tour
great
with
artist.
Fred Schneider right now, I think.
what would a, let's see, I'm trying to think of a Rage song. I'm trying to think of a Rage song.
None of those songs came out. Lyman for the County, I think we've come full circle.
So, he said, I said, well, you know, what was it like for you starting out? And this guy's up on stage with Bruce Springsteen now, doing his thing and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, it sucked when I first started because I came out to L.A. In the Sunset Strip about 86, 87, and it was all about Cinderella and Guns N' Roses and all the hair bands, and I had fucked up hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get a gig, and as a matter of fact, I did get with a guy and get with a band. And the guy literally said at a certain point, and the guy ended up calling my radio show saying, yeah, I was with Tom Morello, who's, you know, again, a very accomplished guy. You see a picture of him standing there holding a Grammy and a real versatile guy. The guy literally said, you have to leave the band. Your hair's fucked up. Like I know you're a great guitar player and you're a great, great songwriter and great singer and everything, but your hair's fucked up. Like, so obviously, yeah. If you had fucked up hair and a dream, 1988 was a bad time for you musically. And why I'm saying that is and bring it back to the comedy, mm-hmm. There was a time when you had to have the feathered back hair or you had to have the whatever hair. And if you see those poor sons of bitches with the male pattern baldness, but they still have the ponytail and still have the weird flake that, or worse yet, me with the sort of Jufro and the weird patch of pubic hair, and you're trying to comb it back and look like Keith Partridge, and it's turning into a fucking helmet. And it's a disaster. You look like I would love a picture of all the guys from the 70s, and I mean, this went from NFL coaches to politicians to rock stars to anyone who didn't have the hair there. Well, now they just shave it clean.
Yeah, now like, it's actually cool.
Who gives a shit? Michael Jordan's the coolest guy on the planet right. with a shaved head. Or if you have long hair, wear it that way. Or wear it anywhere in between.
Right.
And comedically, that's where I kind of think we're at.
You can
do whatever you want. The 1980 something, hey, come up with a character, get in a wacky outfit, have mm-hmm. a hook. Where's the hook?
Right, you don't need. Oh, that's well put. That's well put. And I like how you came. I like how you came around.
I brought it around.
Yeah, that was well done. Did you ever see the musical White Trash Wins Lotto about the ascent of Guns N' Roses in the late 80s on the Sunset Strip?
I was in it. I played. No, I didn't see it.
But it was produced by Rita Gelb.
And we had Paul F. Tompkins and Greg Barrett and all these great people playing the members of Guns N' Roses.
Really? And where did it play?
Played at the Roxy. And it was all patter songs, like Rex Harrison kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
Someone left the cake out in the rain.
Blaine Kapach, who I will be with at Lucha Vavoom this February 10th at the Mayan Theater right here in Los Angeles. You can get details at LuchaVavoom.com.
Yeah.
Played Izzy, is it Izzy Stradlin?
Izzy Stradlin.
And he had a song, Izzy, isn't
it? I-Z-Z-Y.
Yeah, like an old, like, do it, because it was so amazing.
I don't remember.
It was like, I-Z-Z-Y. It was like, I-Z-Z-Y is the name. It was like, so good.
It was like,
like an Aussie
Liza with a Z, not Lisa with an S.
It was a band, though.
How gay did that sound?
I just bought that DVD,
it's okay.
too.
You're in good company.
All right. Lucha Vavoom is the name of the show. It is February 10th and 11th out here at the Mayan Theater. Also the 12th at the Fillmore. Mm-hmm. I should also mention that this show, this podcast, is going to be at the Brea Improv. That's right. Wednesday, the 3rd, I believe. That's right. 7:30 show so far. We'll add one if we sell that one out. Hollywood shows are all sold out. Thank you for that. But plenty of tickets for the Brea. We'll do a 7:30 and probably a 9:30, one of those. And then just go to AdamCarolla.com.
February 17th. Mm-hmm. You and I will be...
Ontario?
Irvine.
Oh, Irvine, yes.
God's country.
Yes, beautiful Irvine on the 17th.
If you can't get to Montana...
Go to Irvine. So you can go to AdamCarolla.com and check out all the
If you've ever wanted to be shrunken down and live in an architect's model of a future mall...
That's what it is.
Go to Irvine.
I know. It's insane. Like, I drive through the streets, and, like, they're so wide, and there's no cars on them, and where's the graffiti?
Yep.
It's insane.
I do think that all the trees in Irvine, if you dug them up, they're all in giant styrofoam squares.
Yeah.
They just got stuck down.
They're probably all cell towers.
Cell towers, say once oil derricks.
Ones they used on Gilligan's Island, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the great Dana Gould, one of my favorite guests that comes in. We're always giddy whenever we see he's on the calendar and he's on his way in. Always brings it. Always
royalty
it.
Of comedy. One of the most brilliant minds in all of comedy.
Exactly.
It's interesting how people flow through there, like from musician wise and comedy wise. They're just the greats.
And he's just so well versed in just the entertainment industry. I mean, if you just listen to his discussion when we had Sid Croft on, and he knew all the names and all the stories. And
we should make him and Patton Oswalt fight.
And yeah, I would love to see that. I mean, didn't they do a Revenge of the Nerds or Nerd Walking with a Brian?
Oh yeah, but we should make it like escalate it to like hand to hand combat for the winner.
Yeah, let's get it.
I guess the winner has to fight too, so I don't know how that works.
But Dana, even off mic, when we're just getting the sound checks, we're all just sitting there, he's always just telling old stories that he just found out or he recalled from old time Hollywood and just all the things he's heard. And it's so cool. Like, he just really appreciates the business, and you could totally tell when he talks about it. All right, let's get going with our final clip of the day. We're going to go back to May of 2015, and Gina has a little story.
Adam Carolla Show 1569, Jail Cove and Gina grab Brian Bishop. This one is the one where Gina comes in talking about witnessing something she did not ask to witness, and then she describes it, and then Brian and Adam start defending the guy. It's one of the greatest moments in ACS history. Enjoy.
Gina Grad.
Good day.
And Paul Bryan.
String them up. I was shocked at the number of people that wanted to hear that for today's
people
top drop.
It.
People loved it.
Michael Jai White from yesterday. All right, so breaking news.
Yeah.
You saw some cock out in the street?
Sure did, right out front here.
What happened?
There was a big guy, I think a Latino guy with soccer shorts on, and he pulled them down to about mid-thigh and took out what seemed like a microphallus. But I still saw the tip and just started waving it around next to his car.
Could have been one of those California dusters. It's a waterless way.
Great
you know,
story.
When your car's not covered with mud. Wait a minute. How do you pull your wang? If it's micro, how do you whip it around?
Well, it was more like, I'm sorry, this is a,
you know,
I'm going to have to show you.
You can describe it.
Well, I don't know really how. He got a hold of it, and I saw the bottom part and the top part with a little hand in the middle. Seemed
that ain't micro. Let me handle this. You know, for a lot of fellas that aren't, I don't like calling, I'm not gifted in every department, but
Just the ones that matter.
Usually, if you can see some flesh under the fist and in front of the fist, unless the fist is shaped like a spatula on edge.
Right.
You know, you're doing okay.
Really?
Well, listen, I'm going to get some more breath about it, but I'm telling you, it's cold outside. It's cold.
Anyways, right outside your building.
I don't know what you're used to.
But she's a size queen.
I think you are. I think you do know what I'm used
well,
to. Well, it's a little puny
again,
of it.
I don't want to be defensive about this. But I just want to say this. We just had a recent
terrorist
came out. It was 5.2 inches.
That was too
massive. That was 5.2 inches. And flaccid, you're talking about well under 3 inches. I mean, that's your study. It's your news story. You do the news yourself. I don't know why I have to come to you about this. All right.
I'm sorry. I called it a microphallus. But he was whipping it around, and he was doing it right outside your building.
Yeah. Well, basically what I'm...
He was shaking it. He was shaking it up and down.
Okay. If you had a Dorothy Hamill, could you whip it around? If you had a Bob haircut, could you whip it around?
Pejorative terms.
Can you whip around a buzz cut? I would argue the fact that he was able to whip it around means he's fine now.
That's evidence right there.
Yes.
I'm sorry I offended both of you.
No,
I'm assaulted on your street.
I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm just.
It doesn't matter to us.
Fine.
It's fucking tiny over there.
I wish I could rent out the extra part of my cock I don't need.
Yeah, give it to El Paquito over there.
Yeah.
Fucking street buddy.
Yeah. Not me. I'm like one of those tables where you put the atta leaf in for Thanksgiving, but now all the relatives have gone.
Yeah, it's when your wife comes out and is like, take the leaf out. Like,
yeah,
it is out.
It is
like,
out.
Oh, my God.
That's how it is. So that's this hombre, but that guy,
right?
You know, was he doing it toward you?
He was doing it.
He was a matador. Yeah.
His car door was open. It looked like he was about to get in, but he was standing there shaking it all about. And then I drove by. I hung a left and onto the street, and he turns around and started shaking it at me.
Oh, interesting.
But it didn't look like it was going back and forth. It looked like it was going up and down.
Mm.
So I think.
Now, do you think initially he had taken a piss? Some guys do this move. Mm. Brian, interesting.
What's that?
Well, I can kind of split rooms in half by talking about certain subjects.
Okay.
And I wonder if this is a room splitter for the dudes. You know, we talk about the guys who watch porn who are basically inserting themselves in that porn versus
that's
just
me.
Sitting and watching
admiring.
The porn.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite guy. I just watch. I'm not there.
You detach yourself totally.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
You're not a POV guy.
Like a night security guard watching the porn monitor of life.
I'm a 60-40 POV guy, I guess.
Okay.
So I split the room.
It'll
on that.
Split the room up a little bit, but here's what I'm saying. After urination, I've noticed a guy or two do the tug and drain move, the udder move.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like gonna
trying to pasteurize
little,
it.
Yeah, little something left in the urethra, and instead of the wag, I do what the Pope does
with the blessing.
Machaca that has the holy water in it,
the shillelagh,
and he just swings it. That's my move.
I'm a tug guy.
It's a bad move because you get one drop in your eye, one drop in the corner of your mouth, and the other gets in the potpourri basket above the toilet.
That's exactly why I'm a tug guy. It's a stupid
move, but the tug move feels...
What?
Masturbatory.
I don't...
I derive very little pleasure out of it.
But you do admit you derive some.
Very little.
All right. The tug move's a better move.
I do the tug move.
I'm just so used to doing the flick move.
That's messy.
You know what's up there for me? The one very, very wasteful, idiosyncratic move I have is the brush the teeth with the sink running.
Yeah.
And
I
shut it off. I shut it off because I realize I'm not using it for anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the warming up the water move. Hey, I'm warming up the water. This ain't that. This is me standing there in front of the mirror brushing my teeth.
Why is this just going down the fucking... I agree.
Almost down the toilet. And I will shut it off. But in an effort to move myself along, I'll turn it back on again.
Yeah.
Just to get... It's like the one time in the day where I'm not doing three things is when I'm brushing my teeth.
Right.
And it's why I used to piss in the sink a lot. Now, the new arrangement has moved the sink too far off. Yeah. And
was that really a normal thing?
Pissing in the sink?
Yeah.
Well, normal
have
for
you
Adam?
Ever, have you ever pissed in the kitchen sink?
Ever.
I mean,
ever,
what?
Ever.
First
ever.
Off, they're all my sinks, number
it's
one.
Just, it's just pipes.
Number oh, two, God. It's just pipes. Okay. I'm a hero. I'm saving this city thousands of gallons. But here's what I'm saying. I in my old place, I used to be able to piss in the sink.
The size was right. The height.
Well, what happened was is the new vanity, whatever, counter bathroom, Pullman, I think we used to call them back in the day. This, it's inexplicably, they put the sink back like 8.5 or 9 inches. Like, they took Ron Jeremy's cock. They used it as a template.
Oh, yes.
And
not,
they placed it way the fuck back.
It's
and it's
lip.
Like, it's, all and it does is make a small moat in front of it when you're shaving and stuff. Like, where's all this water coming from? It's a shit design. Mm-hmm. But it's a bridge a little bit too far for this hombre. So I don't. Now, so now I have to run the water. Run the water. And I turn on, I catch myself,
I
and I go, don't
same
do
thing.
It. Don't
like,
run
ah,
water, shut it off. And then I shut it off, and then I go, oh, I'm almost at the end. I'm going to turn it on again. It's like, now turn it off. So there's, but I do the shake for the same weird move. It's just my thing. But now what are we at as far as the guys? Tug and milk move, udder move versus Maraca Pope.
Versus the full-on shake, the traditional shake, the shimmy.
I think it's a mild shake here.
Mild shake?
Yeah. I'm not worried about anything going above the neck, but...
Okay. Mild
I'm
shake.
I'm doing the shake.
Mm-hmm. Dawson?
I got a two-shaker.
Two-shake.
Boom, boom.
Very efficient.
Now, Brian, probably surprised here is because the milk, the utter milk move is a better move.
For me, in my experience in life, the shake addresses what's at the very, very end of that tube versus the udder move gets a little bit more of what's...
With your technique, over the course of a lifetime, I think you could add like 330 seconds to the overall flaccid length.
That's the hope.
You can't trust a man who can't trust his bladder. I know when I'm done peeing.
Okay,
it's a shake.
All right. No
you don't need to get any more out of it. That's what I'm saying. You know, I don't think
the
pull move is better.
Kalen?
I got to do both, actually.
Wow.
I do, yeah.
Well, the one you start with is going to be the one I'll count.
Shake. I start with the shake.
But see, he finishes with the udder.
It's interesting that how everyone seems to do the shake, yet the udder move, you know, you're talking to a shaker here. But
you recognize that there is some wisdom there?
I do.
I do, too.
Wisdom?
This has not really occurred to
he
me.
He said wisdom, everybody.
It's funny.
Yeah. He gets our credit for it. Yes. Matt, if you had a dick...
I
know you're
that.
Always sitting, but I'm saying if you ever stood and
like,
urinated.
He's like, some guys stand?
Yeah.
I was saying I just put my hands on my hips and I just do a little thrust.
So you do the time warp?
Exactly.
Thank you. That's a little musical theater. Knowing laugh
very
coming
funny.
Out of Gina Grad over there. All right. Let's see.
I squeeze alone.
Wow.
But look, you're lone wolf cock milker, but you can hold your both heads up high knowing that it's probably a better technique.
You'll all come around.
And to circle back around to the beginning of this story, maybe he was pissing, but the way he was, he would have had to have been pissing into his car first.
Oh.
Which is
possible.
If you're wearing...
No, he can do when depending on where you are, there is a move. There is a sort of, people don't really realize it, but you are driving a mobile outhouse if you're dude and you got to do the number one.
Oh.
It's a move where you step out of the car, you open the door to its closest opening, and you basically look, stand there.
Yep.
As if
around.
By the way, as if there's ever a time when you're in that position doing anything other than pissing. Like, what do you think that guy's doing? I don't know. He's probably just standing by his door while it's half ajar.
Have the decency to get on one knee, pretend like you're looking
for something. Doing something, yes. You stand around and you pretend as if you're surveying the environment, like you're fucking Lewis and Clark or something, but you're not doing anything but pissing.
That's what this was. That had to be what this was.
Yeah. But you can pull that move off sort of sitting with one leg out.
Mm, yeah. You're a guy.
More dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you take a knee?
Yes.
You can do that, but I'm saying I can be sitting in my car, open the door, throw the left leg out, and still be good.
Wow.
Back to the...
You Let said me know when you're wearing, single.
You said the guy was wearing soccer shorts, right?
Yes.
Okay. When you don't have to pull soccer shorts down to your knees to pee. You pee out the leg of them.
Oh.
I've done it on the soccer field during
bunch
a game.
Up. Bunch them up.
During a game.
You take a knee.
Wow. And then he wasn't playing in, by the way. Those 8-year-olds were freaked the fuck out.
That's good.
The guy with the beard. He's got a beer in one hand and a ball in the other. Wake up to reality check, kiddies.
You got a yellow card.
No, but the soccer show, the guy was showing his dick for sure.
Okay. Right? All right.
Because you can pee inside of soccer shorts.
No, you can covertly. Yeah, it's true. You can do that, but you could pull them down. Look, write this down, Gary. New invention. Inside a car, a liner. We have the drop stop, cock block.
Wow.
It's a liner that goes on the inside of your door. You know, pops up a little for privacy. Yeah. It's made of, you know, vulcanized rubber or something.
It's the same thing in the urinals and in the porta potties.
I love the idea. I think we may need to workshop.
Cock block?
May need to workshop.
You may need to do it.
You can turn off a lot of guys.
I've already got cockblock.com. Yeah. I already had the domain
what
secured.
What if it's spelled cock with a Q?
That's French.
C-O-Q.
Either way, if someone, like, if you were Rolls Royce and you're saying to me, our car has an umbrella that's in the door, I'm like, I can throw an umbrella in the trunk. But if you said, well, we have Alcantara leather on the side, but the last 12 inches, it stops and turns into an almost indestructible vinyl that you can just piss on anytime. Like with a flap that drops down, that a diffuser that breaks it up so they don't see like the stream going down.
Can
and
you
stuff.
Imagine?
I'd be like, yeah, I'm in on this bad boy. Okay. Good times. Where were we? All right. So then he turned around and shook it at you.
Yeah, but that makes me think now that he just didn't give a shit. He was shaking it, you know, shaking it after peeing. And then he was like, oh, you're here. Hi.
There's a certain segment of society that if you're sitting in traffic or at a red light, and they're picking their nose and you turn and observe them and they observe you, we'll dig deeper.
Like almost
97% will immediately pull their finger out.
I don't know these people.
Ray would do this.
Okay, yeah, okay. I know these people.
There's a handful of people. You already been caught picking your nose. You're in the shame cycle. Yeah. Let's see if you can throw them in the dryer with you.
They go to what of it?
Yeah, like what he's staring at, or I'm going to give you. I know you saw me doing this. So in order to, it's a sort of a, it's kind of the, I have a zit admittance. It's the certain percentage of society that'll have a big zit on their forehead.
Got one.
And will say to the person, I'm not using you as
That's
an example,
okay.
but I will literally say to the person they're eating lunch with, yeah, I know, big zit. Mm-hmm. Like, before, let's get this out of the way.
Sure.
Yeah. Instead of having you just think big zit.
Keep staring at it.
Yeah, there's just that segment. All right. I'll tell you what is filled with something much better than a zit. Sherry's Berries.
Smooth.
Sherry's Berries. Mother's Day, man. This weekend. It's official. It's last minute time. It's crunch time, people. Speaking of crunch, they put the delectable chocolate and the nuts on the outside, but then your teeth dip into this beautiful, like, mega strawberry. Giant, freshly dipped. I gotta watch it. I'm talking about Wiz too much.
And that clip from 2015, Gina, oh boy. Yeah, that's what happens. If you bring in a story, I mean, you never really know where it's going to go. I tell that to guests all the time. They always cut, like, when they haven't heard the podcast, if they haven't heard the podcast, like, oh, what should we expect? And I just go, expect nothing.
Yeah, that's our Gina Grad, always turning sex crime lemons into sex crime lemonade.
Yeah, I know. It's a beautiful thing. All right.
I don't think it is, but she's got a great attitude about it.
Well, the process is beautiful, but yeah, maybe the result isn't. All right, that'll do it for today's episode of Cruel Classics. But we do release a Sunday episode every weekend, so make sure to tune in for that by subscribing to the Cruel Classics feed. And Gio and I will see you there. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
We have so many more episodes to make. Mahalo and get it on.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.